25 years ago, a Harvard-trained brain scientist named Jill Bolte Taylor had a massive stroke in the left half of her brain. Within 4 hours, she couldn't walk, talk, read, write, or recall any of her life. But during those 4 hours, when her intellectual left brain had completely shut down, her unfettered right brain introduced her to a whole new reality, an experience of complete and utter peace and oneness. Taylor later wrote in her best-selling book, My Stroke of Insight, "In this shifted perception, I no longer perceived myself as a single, a solid, an entity with boundaries that separated me from the entities around me. Instead, the energy of everything blended together. Everything in my visual world blended together. And with every pixel radiating energy, we all flowed en masse together as one." Wow. You know, we might say that Jill Bolte Taylor was in an altered state of being. But what if she was in the true state of being? What if the way she saw and experienced things is really the way that they are, unified rather than separate? What if our left brain serves the purpose of taking this oneness, this absolute reality, and breaking it into discrete, seemingly separate pieces for us so that we can navigate life, when in truth, we are all part of one big flowing stream of being? One big flowing stream of being. That's essentially what Unity has taught since 1889. Oneness is foundational to our philosophy, hence the name Unity. Unity teaches that we are all one with each other, that we are one with God, whatever you conceive that higher presence to be, that indeed we are one with all of life. There is no separation. And now, the very exciting news is that science, even beyond Jill Bolte Taylor, is saying the same thing. As we're learning in Christopher Naughton's fabulous class, I love this class, many great scientists now embrace the idea of a unifying, infinite, universal consciousness, a field of intelligent awareness of which we are all a part. They call it the one mind. We could also call it the absolute, God, goddess, infinite mind, the universe, the omega point, the ground of all being, or something else. But author and MD Larry Dossey says no matter what you call it, that within this consciousness there is a profound and, quote, intimate entanglement of everything with everything. Neurosurgeon and author Eben Alexander says, "Our separation from each other is an optical illusion of consciousness." Wow, an optical illusion of consciousness. This is a pretty huge departure from what we typically hear out of science, isn't it? The scientists typically want empirical evidence. If they can't experience it or see it, if it isn't tangibly so, that they don't believe that it is true in a physical way. But the one mind view is being driven by these cutting-edge discoveries from these pioneering scientists about paranormal phenomena, which are finally being taken seriously. Paranormal phenomena, you might wonder what that is. It includes things like near-death experiences, in which people have lucid memories and experiences even when their brains are physically completely shut down, when they're showing up essentially as brain dead. It's phenomena like knowing the future before it happens, accurately seeing and sensing things from across a distance, the mind being able to affect physical matter, children remembering previous lives. Oh, there's some compelling stories about that. Savants having access to an astounding amount of information they have never learned or studied, and communication with the dead that it turns out to be both accurate and instructive. This is a vast wealth of phenomena, thousands and thousands and thousands of cases that scientists are finally taking seriously. And we are hearing in this One Mind class, we are hearing and reading some absolutely phenomenal accounts of people who have experienced this kind of phenomenon, accounts that seem that they border on the miraculous, honestly. So two that have stood out for me. One is Bobby the Collie. This was in the 1920s. Bobby was a two-year-old dog. His owners lived in Oregon, and they made went on vacation with Bobby, and they went to Indiana. While they were in Indiana, Bobby got lost. They couldn't find him anywhere. And finally, the owners just gave up. They got in the car, and they drove back to Oregon desolate. 6 months later, Bobby showed up in his owner's home, emaciated, but having traveled 2,800 miles to get home from Indiana to Oregon. He came up the stairs, jumped on his master's bed, and began licking his face. Come on. And then the other's the story of Leslie Lemke. Leslie was a male who, he's probably in his 60s now, he's still alive, but he was born with cerebral palsy and severe glaucoma, such that when he was first born, the doctors removed his eyes, totally blind. Leslie was unable to stand until he was 12 years old, and he couldn't walk until he was 15. But one night, when he was 16 years old, his adoptive parents, his adoptive mother is absolutely an amazing soul herself, they woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of music just pouring out of the piano in their living room. So they went in to see what it was, and there was Leslie sitting at the piano, playing Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 perfectly. He had heard it performed on television recently. He'd never had a piano lesson, never had a music lesson, but there he was. And from that point on, he became adept at playing all different musical styles. He actually sang before he ever spoke. He became internationally known for being able to play thousands of musical pieces, having only heard them once. Now, that's mind-blowing, is it not? We ask ourselves, how could this possibly happen? Well, the One Mind scientists would tell us that these individuals were tuned into a higher field of intelligence. They were basically, their brains were downloading, just like antenna, they were downloading this information from a greater source out there in the great beyond. So many of these stories, and while the details of them are very different, they span a wide cross-section of phenomena. The scientists say that they have three things in common. And the first is that those who experience these phenomena have a hyper-real level of awareness. They say that what they've been through, what they experienced, was more real than real. Secondly, they feel a connection to a greater whole. And third, it is an experience of intense love. Intense love. Connection to a greater whole, more real than real, intense love. That sounds like the reality we're meant to live in. It sounds like the realization that we're meant to have, the awakening that we are seeking. It's the consciousness that I believe Jesus taught and exemplified and beckoned us into, this consciousness of oneness, of love, of the whole of which we are all a part. Jesus exemplified this consciousness, and we need it now more than ever. Larry Dossey, in his book, One Mind, writes, "The limitations of our minds constitute a kind of planetary emergency. The problems we face are systemic and metastatic. They involve the gradual degradation and deterioration of our world because of the way we choose to behave, abetted by an unremitting greed, a paralysis of will, the clouding of vision, and a willful ignorance toward rigorous science. As a people, we seem to be seriously impaired. It is as if we have suffered a culture-wide stroke that has damaged the higher centers that control our ability to reason and act in rational ways. Wow. But we have a choice. The solution, quite simply, is to change our minds, to raise our consciousness. How do we do that? We do it by deeply knowing and embracing that we are intimately connected with one another and with all of life. You see, this is the lesson we have yet to learn, that we are one, that there is no separation. We are part of this one mind, this one consciousness, this one energy field that is all of life. We cannot do harm to another without harming ourselves. We cannot give without receiving. We cannot turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to suffering without suffering ourselves. As poet, author, and activist Maya Angelou said, "We are not our brother's keeper. We are our brother, and we are our sister." Well, this puts a very different spin on the golden rule, doesn't it? Rather than it being, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you," it says, "Be kind to others, because in some sense, they are you." I wanted to talk about this topic today because I feel that this move, this rise in consciousness, this return to a consciousness of oneness is imperative and urgent. So many people are hurting right now because of the deep divisions in our country and in our world about politics, about ideology, but also race, ethnicity, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, you name it. People are hurting. And I have people come to me from time to time and say, "How can I talk to my friend or my family member who sees things so differently from me?" And my answer is to remember what Albert Einstein said: "No problem can be solved from the level of consciousness that created it." Continuing to go head to head, trading opinions or arguments, gets you nowhere. The answer is not a more clever approach or clever argument or psychological tool to make your point. The answer is to come up higher in consciousness. The answer is to remove yourself and see that person as a fellow human being that you can regard with love and care, and even perhaps ask yourself, what would love do now? You see, when we move into that consciousness of oneness, we don't have to force ourselves to be nice or to be loving because we are love. We feel it, and so does the other person. And very soon, these outer differences become less important and perhaps even irrelevant. If we are committed to raising our consciousness in this way, we must become adept at saying no to the mindset that we don't want, and yes to the mindset that we do want. That could even mean making the very bold choice to turn away from news sources and social media that perpetually stir up fear and division and outrage. I have done this myself. It's so simple, you guys. You can really do this. Turn it off. Look away. Put your attention elsewhere. I have done this, and it is so liberating. So liberating. When I witness this kind of activity and arguing and infighting going on, I say to myself, "I'm not playing in that sandbox anymore. I will not live in fear, and I will not demonize other people. I will not engage with life at this level. I'm going up here. I'm going up here. And you can do the same thing. We all have that capacity to shift our focus. Man, you're in charge of this. Remember Emerson saying, stand guard at the portal of your mind. Watch what you're taking in. And mindfully choose that which is uplifting and inspiring and uniting and enlightening. You know how to do this. We talk about it all the time. Meditation, sitting quietly, listening to music, viewing art, being in nature, spending time with loved ones. You can read inspirational material, you can pray, spend time just on your own. You can do this when you're washing the dishes or gardening or doing nothing at all. It's just tuning in to the infinite. It's tuning in to the truth. You know, we human beings know how to be in oneness consciousness. We know this because we show it from time to time. Typically, we see this oneness of people being united in the aftermath of a tragedy, for example, after 9/11. Remember how close we felt to everyone? Or after an experience of awe and wonder. Like I particularly remember a couple of years ago when we had the complete solar eclipse. Oh, that was so powerful. You see, we know how to do this. We know we are familiar with this consciousness, but we forget it. And we don't make the conscious choice to be in that sense of awareness. In 1992, a Category 4 storm called Hurricane Aniki hit the island of Kauai in Hawaii. And it caused about $3 billion worth of damage. It killed several people, and it knocked power out for weeks. Well, as it happens, my mother and stepfather were on Kauai in the middle of that hurricane when it hit. My mother later told me that she and her husband huddled in the bathtub of their timeshare, presumably the safest spot in the unit, for 8 hours. Most of the time covering their ears to muffle the deafening roar of the hurricane. My mother told me she was sure she was going to die. But the storm passed, and when my mom and stepfather and all the residents came out, they were in an entirely, life felt entirely different. Sure, there was obviously massive destruction to be dealt with, but at the same time, my mother said that she witnessed the most open-hearted sharing and compassion and community she had ever seen. She said it was one of the highlights of her life. Can you imagine going from fearing you're going to die to one of the highlights of your life because of the consciousness that people were in, because of the amazing sharing that she witnessed of food and water and resources, complete selflessness as people cared for each other and did everything they possibly could to help one another. And even played made-up music and sang to celebrate that they'd made it. It was a celebration of life. And differences between people, why would that even matter? It was human being to human being. Now, when I want to get myself in that consciousness of human to human, seeing us as fellow travelers and even loving people I don't know at all, but seeing them, as I would say, through the eyes of God, I look to two of my favorite spiritual teachers, my granddaughters. We have a picture of them. There's Vivian, who's now age 4. She's a pistol. She's hilarious and so much fun. And that's little Maya, who is 17 months old today. My granddaughters are absolutely full of life and oblivious to any differences between people. They are filled with joy and wonder and discovery. Well, about a month ago, I was up in New York City visiting Emily and Rich and little Maya, and I decided to take her out for a stroll through the park one day. So I had her in the stroller, and Maya just loves people and pets. If you take her for a walk, She pointedly engages with every single person and every single dog. She does it often through making eye contact and smiling and sometimes reaching out. As we're walking along through the park, we came upon an old man sitting on a park bench, looking down at his lap and appearing to be utterly despondent. And I thought to myself, here is someone who is so turned inward that nothing can reach him. But he glanced up as we approached, and little Maya shot him a big, beaming smile. And that man's face, his countenance changed completely. A huge smile came across his face, as if he had just seen the sun for the first time. You see, we can all do this for each other. We can all be like the sun to each other on a cloudy day. Maybe it's as simple as making eye contact and smiling. Or maybe it's as substantial as rising up into a consciousness of oneness. We can learn this lesson. We can do this. We can love one another, regardless of our differences, for the future of our planet, for the survival of humankind. May it be so. Let's turn now to our meditation. Thanks. Take a moment now to get settled in our seats, breathing in deeply. Release and let go. Just feel any worries or concerns or busy thoughts just falling away. Just gently breathing in and out. Grounding yourself in the all-loving, all-knowing, all-encompassing presence of God. Appreciate for a moment that right now, all across this beautiful planet Earth, are people intrinsically like you, moving through their day, facing their challenges, but also looking up at the sun or the moon or the sky. Feel yourself in this moment, connected with all of them, the family of humankind. Each person striving, trying to figure it out, trying to make their way. And you as well. In this moment, send yourself a little love and a little grace. And imagine beaming that love and grace out to all of life. Allow yourself to turn to the presence of the one mind, the one consciousness that unites us all, for a few moments in the silence. love in our hearts, to make a difference in this world, to be the change, and to show up in love. And for all of this, for sharing our journey, for gaining these insights, for growing together, we're so grateful. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.
Your unfolding peace, show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace.